Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. You have to be willing to question the impossible, or you're planning for the inevitable. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Today's episode is brought to you by Vermont Pure CBD Full Spectrum Wellness Products. Now, I don't want to get too deep into this product right now because the founder of Vermont Pure CBD, Grant Jacobowski, is on the show today. So he's going to get deep. We go deep into the weeds, if you will, answer a lot of questions about what CBD full spectrum is, what CBD is, how that cultivation process takes place. And, well, he tells the story, really, about Vermont Pure CBD, because I think it's important to know, you know, where your product's coming from, who your products are coming from, and, well, how they make them, etc., right? Now, I don't endorse any product I haven't used or don't believe in, and this is a product I use and have used and will use again. Now, there's all kinds of CBD products out there to choose from, but this is one I certainly endorse. All you got to do is go to VermontPureCBD.com, type in promo code RAMPAGE, and receive 10% off. So all the listeners and viewers of this podcast get 10% off just typing in promo code RAMPAGE. Now, it's organic all around CBD, right? The best you can, but, well, Grant gets into the meaning of that nowadays too in the beginning of the podcast, so I won't go deep, but they got all types of products that you can think about, any way to apply them, right? Ingestion, oral, rub-ons, whatever, roll-ons, capsules, you name it, they cover it, they got you covered, and it's something I certainly endorse. Again, this entire podcast with Grant Jacobowski is about it. So I'll leave it at that. But again, go to VermontPureCBD.com, type in promo code RAMPAGE, you get 10% off. And this podcast is also fueled by my book, The Cognitive Rampage, which you can find available now on Amazon. The second edition is out. You can look that up. I'd love to go deep into it, but I've done a ton of podcasts on my actual book. But it's about life change, self-discovery, and, well, getting deep in your own life. And look, you don't have to be at rock bottom. I don't like to classify my book as a self-help book because it's also a self-optimization book, because that's also who it's for. Look, if you're on rock bottom dealing with addiction, depression, anxiety, I promise you this book is for you. It will pull you out of that hole, or at least assist you, right? Because it will be you that pulls you out of that hole. But even if not, if you just like life development, life optimization, learning more about yourself, self-discovery, trying new things, well, and if you don't know what your life philosophy is, right? A lot of people don't know what their actual life philosophy is. Not that quote you keep using and claim to be your life philosophy, right? This book, it's an experience. I'm telling you, it's not just this self-help book filled with motivational fluff and words telling you that a boy, you can do it, right? And just change how you think, right? It's different. It's deeper. It's based in multiple sciences, from the biology down to sociology, cognitive sciences, behavioral sciences, environmental sciences, and working in nature, sleep, all these things that we know to be necessary too. And it's all put together in a self-application for you. You apply it to yourself, and there is no harmful side effects, all right? I promise you that at least, right? So pick up that book. You can go to Amazon. Just type in The Cognitive Rampage, basically anywhere on Google. Not too many things named The Cognitive Rampage, and you'll find that book. So on to the podcast. I hope you enjoy this one. I learned a lot about CBD. If you have any questions, if you currently use CBD, you certainly need to listen to this podcast. And if you just aren't sure what it is, right? We didn't go right deep into it, right? I tried to help Grant walk through the basics of it for some people that just don't know about it. And that's what we tried to focus on, right? Was kind of the simplicity of what CBD is down to the inner workings of some new discoveries that they're finding, which I found fascinating. CBD will not be the end of it, right? You'll learn about CBG, CBNs, and some other amazing ideals and things we talk about here. So wonderful discoveries, wonderful education and competence Grant brought to the podcast about CBD, what full spectrum means, what isolate means, and, well, how they make that and how it comes to be that, right? So if you use it, you know somebody that uses it, you're thinking about using it, you just don't know what it is, and especially if you do use it, you need to listen to this podcast, man. It was a real pleasure to talk to, well, my new friend and founder of Vermont Pure CBD, Grant Jacobowski. And we are live. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your cognitive rampage. I'm your boy, Adam Lowry, checking in with you on the show today. Mr. Grant Jabowski. I think I nailed it. Yeah, I got the thumbs up there. Founder of Vermont Pure CBD Wellness Products, man. And a whole lot more too, man. But welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me on, Adam. This is a pleasure.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on. And whether we share some knowledge with CBD or wherever we want to go, man, well, tell myself a little bit about you, man. Well, kind of where did the little Grant come from?
Oh, man, I don't know how far back you want me to start.
But, I mean, I don't need your full biography. I mean,
we only got so much time. But let me just give you a little background on what got me to this point.
Yeah, I think that's better. Yeah, walk us in on how you got into the CBD world.
So after high school, I went to college and I went to URI for plant breeding. Actually, no, it wasn't plant breeding. It was horticulture and turf grass management. And a lot of people in my major either went on to be superintendents at golf courses and manage the greens and all the grass. And I actually worked on a golf course for a couple of years while I was in college. And that was a lot of fun and I got a lot out of that work, but I was really more attracted to plants. And after college, I got a really great job at a hydroponic greenhouse. And it was supposed to just be a summer gig, but there was kind of some good timing as far as when I came into that company, the lead manager and grower there had to, or well, he got the opportunity to move on to another company after about 6 months of me being there. And because of my background and the way the summer went, I was given the opportunity to be the grower at that operation for a few years. So it was my dream job, honestly, for a few years. And I,
so when you say grower there, well, I mean, walk us through, what's that really mean? Like when you're the head grower of something like that?
Yeah, so I mean, every operation is a little different, but we were focused on vegetable production. This was a hydroponic operation that was about 1 acre in size. It was all under greenhouse. It was very high tech and very automated. We were focused mostly on tomatoes. We did grow some basil and some lettuce and some what's called an NFT. And we used a couple different hydroponic methods. And I don't know if your listeners know much about hydroponic growing, but it's essentially just growing without soil.
So yeah, growing with the water and growing vertically, that kind of stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Our tomato plants were pretty incredible. By the end of the year, we actually had tomato plants that were about 30 feet long.
Good Lord. I mean, so is this pesticide free? Is all organic too?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not considered organic because the nutrients we're using weren't organic, but we did have organic principles. We never sprayed anything on our plants and it was a very clean environment.
What's that? I mean, what's that really mean, right? Because a lot of people see organic, right, on stuff they buy. Shit, I see organic on things and I'm like, what you mean organic that? You know what I mean? I'm like, you're just throwing it on there. I mean, what's the real principle of the classification to call food organic?
Yeah, so that's actually changed a lot over the years. And I'm sorry if you hear my dog squeaking his toy. He's looking for a little attention right now.
That's all right.
But so organic started out with really beautiful ideas, and it really was a good intention to create a program that proved that you weren't spraying any of your dangerous chemicals and you were really trying to do things as natural and sustainable as possible. But like many of our labels and programs, they get a little corrupted along the way.
Yeah,
and yeah. Yeah, and every year the organic label has unfortunately gotten a little looser. And there's certain companies that pay the right people and they end up getting bills that allow their product to be called organic, even though it may not be completely safe or considered organic. It really has loosened a lot. But I know that there are a few groups of people that are actually starting some private labeling. And there's one that's called the Real Organic Project. And they're really trying to make it a much more strict standard and have it so the organic label actually means something. And I'm not saying that it doesn't mean anything, because it's not like you can spray chemicals and all types of dangerous stuff on your vegetables. If
what is it like organic, 70% of your cultivation has to be done organically, something like that?
So the thing about the hemp plant right now is we're in a little bit of a strange times as far as being able to get things certified organic, because there's so many contradicting laws federally, and that a lot of these organizations are federal organizations. We specifically deal with NOFA, which is the National Organic Farming Association, and they will certify our vegetables as organic. They're willing to even certify our fiber and our seed as organic, but they will not certify our hemp flower right now. So that's the only reason we can't call our product organic, and they're working really hard to try to get the right people.
Why not?
Like I said, the right people haven't gotten the right amount of money yet. And I think that we've really watched this industry kind of come into fruition overnight in a lot of ways. And how quickly things are expanding and how many more people are growing this plant, they're really just starting to figure out how to regulate it. That's one of the main things that we're having issues with right now, is getting everybody on the same page as far as regulation goes.
Yeah, it's scary, man. There's so much product out there now from so many different brands. I mean, some of them even allow the under licensing where you can go out and sell their product for them. I'll leave names out and things like that, but where you're your own independent business owner, right, selling their products and things. And, you know, so many people they look for cheaper because, you know, money's tight for a lot of people, but you don't really know where a lot of these products come from, you know, or how it was made or what's going into it. And if you're trying to meet quantity, you know, amounts at the end of the month, you got to match, you got to make it grow faster. I mean, I have a very, very good friend who has a couple cannabis cups, actually. And he was, I'll leave it there. Anyway, I got a lot of inside information about him, and the industry has really flipped. I mean, they've gone the way of almost industrial farming, to where they're cutting out, you know, the scientists, the guys like yourself that know all the tricks and trade, and they're supplementing it for cheap labor just to churn out product.
Yeah, this is really unfortunate for the consumer right now, because it is the wild, wild west. And there is a very, very like crazy market out there to navigate. And I think that your best approach as far as finding a CBD supplement that is sustainable and good for the environment and good for you is to actually know the people that you're getting it from. Because right now we're working in a completely unregulated industry.
Go ahead.
No, when I say completely unregulated, I want people to understand how unregulated this industry is. And right now, Vermont, God bless them. This is probably the most Vermont thing that you could do. The way they unrolled the hemp program was they pretty much allowed anybody to sign up for $25. And with that $25 license, that gives you the ability to grow as much as you want, wherever you want.
Oh, wow. I mean, go ahead.
You just have to tell the state where you're growing it and how much you're growing and go grow it.
Oh, my God. I mean, now some places I can hear people going, woo, freedom, you know, I mean, allow people. I mean, I've been guilty of saying that, right? It should be treated like a tomato. If I can plant it in my backyard, grow it myself, I should be able to have it. In Florida, those laws are a lot different. I mean, it's good luck on being able to be a grower in Florida now. I mean, $250,000 just to apply to be able to get it. It's backed up. Applications are filled up. I mean, it's, well, I think, 17, 18 growers now, all multinational corporations, most of them from Canada. I mean, you're not getting into it in Florida. And I always thought, you know, forget legalization. You know, I want decriminalization so we could all grow our own. I mean, that seemed to be the safest, so you know where it's coming from.
Yeah. And if you have the ability to grow your own, that's beautiful. But unfortunately, much of the industry and many of the consumers are not in the position. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the space. They don't have the time, money, energy to grow this plant themselves.
Yeah, or the knowledge, man. I think a lot of people just think you can just plant it and like a weed, it'll just grow. That's funny I use that word. And like a weed, it would just sprout up in the back by itself. And how much care actually goes into growing that plant, man, and how many mistakes you can easily make, things that you do. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Yeah, anybody that's grown this plant for any amount of time realizes that there's some skill and there's some trial and error involved. I've luckily been trying to grow this plant for a long time. Ever since I first started getting connected with this plant, I've been trying to grow it. So I've got quite a few years of experience under my belt. A lot of them were kind of done in the guerrilla ways and out in the woods, but you got to start somewhere. And I think that a lot of that has taught me a huge amount that I'm able to implement today. And I've saved myself a lot of growing pains, I guess you could call.
Yeah, I mean, now you broke out on your own doing Vermont Pure CBD, and then I know still a few people that are working for larger industries. I'm going to leave those companies unnamed that are working for them. And like I said, they're being worked out. They're being pushed out. They're getting soaked up for their knowledge. They take their knowledge from them, implement it in this cookie cutter method, bring in cheap labor, and then boot them out the door. Is part of that kind of why you know, stuck on your own and didn't go work for one of those big names that can pay you the big money?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of these people are getting taken advantage of in this industry. I see a lot of these bigger companies, and they're not treating their employees well. They're actually taking advantage of our generation in a lot of ways, because so many of the people that are in our age group, they just want to work in the industry. And they want to tell their friends that they work with weed and they grow plant like marijuana for a living. And they just, it's a total like ego trip thing. And also, I think that since there's so many people that just want to make that claim, there are these companies that are taking advantage of that. And I know these people that are growing with a lot of experience and they have a lot of knowledge and they're not getting compensated for their experience and what they're doing. So the reason why I honestly have paid my own path was because I was actually a couple years ago, I quit my job and I've been in these entrepreneurial waters for a couple years. And I've been messing around with a couple other different tinctures and adaptogens and plants and mushrooms. And I saw the CBD thing a few years ago, actually, when I worked at my other greenhouse, we talked about potentially growing some a few years ago. Way before the CBD thing was even that big of a craze. I was, the only thing I knew people were using it for were vape cartridges at that point, and they were using it mainly for anxiety. And now it's just really exploded with the new research that we're able to do and all the different testimonials that are coming out. But this, the old place I worked at, they were a big company. They had another greenhouse up in Canada, and they just didn't feel like risking any of the other side of the business in order to be one of these pioneers in the industry. Because right now we are working with a couple contradictory federal laws. There's a farm bill that kind of says it's okay to sell hemp as long as it's below 0.3%. And then there's another bill that says all cannabinoids are illegal, no matter what they are, including CBD. So all the hemp growers are like, we're going with that bill.
But, right, until they show up at your door and...
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess, I mean, it's the same thing with medical, right? There's not a single medical marijuana place that is operating under federal.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done knocking either. And now I got one of my dogs going.
Door. Yeah, mine, I guess it's contagious. Mine seems to have found something else to do for now. So I guess it's your turn.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. They can be a part of the podcast, their family, for all the dog lovers, man. I mean, it's still risky, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is it's still risky that the feds show up anytime and basically shut you down. And you know what I would, you know, fear the most if I was sitting in your shoes, not to tell you to, you know, break a leg before you go on stage or anything, but it's the small companies like yours and others that if you take a large enough piece of the market and build a brand, now you're intruding on these brands that have spent millions of dollars building and promoting and marketing and growing what they're doing. And I mean, how many lobbyists do you have, you know, up front that pushes this, that pushes this, where somebody knows the head of the DEA that makes the phone call and goes, shut these people down. They've taken 0.5% of the market up here in Vermont or Florida or wherever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. There's nobody really knows what this industry is going to do in the next few years. And there's a lot of different directions it could go. But I'm really optimistic. I really see the people that are getting into this. I actually have a friend who, it was really wild, through kind of a synchronicity. My girlfriend was working with another person who was partners. I think it was the wife of the owner of this other hemp farm. They're like a half hour away. And they're actually a pretty big operation and really well connected and have like a lot of money behind them. And when they found out we were growing, you would think that it would instantly incite this competitive, jealous, greedy type of energy between us. But it's literally been nothing but cooperation and love. And it's what's interesting is he actually kind of got shown this way by the other people who are really running the industry out in Oregon. Like, I know there's some farms out in Oregon that are doing like $500 million just in seed sales.
Good God.
This industry is insane. It's a multi-billion dollar industry already, and it's not slowing down. But what's amazing is it seems like the people that are controlling the genetics and controlling who gets to get into this industry are really good people, and they seem to have values, and they seem like they're not greedy, money hungry people that are just trying to do everything they can to one up people and cut people out. They're really trying to make sure that the people that are getting into this industry and the people that are succeeding are doing it with the right reasons and the right values. And I also think that we're all just like in a beautiful position where the pie is so big that nobody's got to get greedy with this stuff. It's kind of like the whole microbrew industry that's really blown up in Vermont in the last like 15 years. And it doesn't seem like there's this, I really want to get away from that famine thinking that has created a lot of the jealousy and greed in a lot of other industries. And this whole idea that there's only so much. And when another person is taking CBD that's not yours, that means that there's, I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, there is less money for you. But I don't think that we need to be looking at as somebody buying from my competitor is something taken away from me. I really want to look at ways to cooperate and create synergy amongst us and look at ways to help each other out instead of ways of out competing each other and being cutthroat about things when it's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Maybe we can convince Philip Morris of that.
there's some tough people to convince out there for sure. I've been trying to spread this message, and some people are a little more receptive than others.
Right. I mean, I'd love it, man. But it's so hard not to look at an industry like this and pick an industry, be that insurance, pharmaceuticals. I mean, pick what you want. Eventually, it seems to become corrupt. It seems to become just the top, 1% sitting with the income, or, changing laws to make sure they're the only ones that can do it. I mean, when they tried to pass it the first time here in Florida, and the laws are so stringent here of anyone that could grow, that it literally had to be the NAACP that stepped up and said no the first time, because they were saying, hey, we couldn't own a farm for 30 years, so that we shot it down the first time. And it, the laws they still put into place made it so difficult for the small business to try to grow like that. And in Florida, they went true red state and cut out, the small farm to be able to operate. It just costs so much money. And like you, I hope that doesn't infect the rest of the country as much as our politics have. Without choosing a side, I don't like red or blue, just to be honest. Yeah. And let everybody know.
I agree with everything you said. And I actually, Vermont just released their proposition of what they are trying to go forward with as far as our legalization bill. I don't know if you know where we're at, but we just legalized marijuana in July last year, and they're allowed everybody to possess it. You can grow it. You can grow two plants, I think, outside, and up to six immature, and you are allowed to give it away for free. You can gift it.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't allow any sales. They completely, like, nobody's going to jail anymore. Nobody's getting any trouble for it. No arrest. But they don't have any stores and regulation, and they were kind of just like allowing this to be the first step. And
I like that first step because they're kind of cutting out the giant corporations to begin with, because once you've already allowed everybody to grow it in their house and do it, you can't just come in and now you're going to tell a million people, you know, that started growing, no, you can't anymore because this corporation helped pass this law or this bill. I like the way they rolled that out.
Yeah, no, I'm really, I'm so proud to be from Vermont and what Vermont is doing. And I know it's not perfect. I don't think any place is perfect. But as far as what I see in our politics and what I see as far as who is trying to pass these bills, like the bill that they are proposing doesn't allow any monopolies. Like they strictly are trying to distribute the wealth, I think, as best as they possibly can. They're only allowing small growers. They're not allowing anybody who grows to process. So they're going to have a whole other processing kind of industry. And they're not going to allow anybody who sells it to do any of those.
Wow. So down here it's seed to sale, man.
Yeah. And that's how it is with hemp. And I honestly, I like that aspect because we're able to control the entire process and we can make sure that all of our flower is growing on organic land by us. And the way that we dry it, I think, is superior to a lot of other drying methods. And the way that we extract is also, I think, a little bit better. But as far as distributing the wealth, they really fucked up on the whole medical program. They kind of made it a little bit of a monopoly. They only offered these licenses to a couple different people. This one guy who got the licenses, he's been able to kind of lobby in the state quite a bit and get a lot of very pro-friendly marijuana bills for his companies. And right now our medical program is not something to be proud of. I think that it's probably the worst medical program of all the states that have medical programs, which is kind of sad because we've been a medical state for a little while now and we really kind of dropped the ball on, I feel like, how we deal with that. There's not really any competition amongst it. If you have a medical license, you have to sign up with one dispensary. This dispensary can charge as much as they want. Oh. You're not allowed to go to any other dispensaries for your medicine. So there's no competition amongst these dispensaries. There's only like a few in the state. So they're like hours away from each other. And it's kind of a mess, honestly. I see that the medical patients in this state are getting really taken advantage of by the current system. There's like $400 ounces when it should cost no more than $200. And it's a little ludicrous as far as our medical program goes right now, but I really see it changing in a positive way. And I'm really optimistic about the future of legalization in the state.
Yeah. Florida has certainly allowed the medical. I think the money has already touched the hands it needed to in Florida. So medically, you know, I think it's about $225 around there. You see your licensed, practitioner, you know, it's pretty easy. I mean, you can walk in and get it done, and they've added a few more diagnoses along the way. Because I mean, I think down here it's every 100,000 patients they can open up another 5 more locations. They can open them up anywhere. But again, it's just those 17 or 18 companies. You know, you or I can't open up a dispensary around here. That's just not going to happen. We got to grow it first, and you need millions just to get in that route. So they've certainly controlled it on that end. They've set some standards of how it's got to grow. They've created an entire board that's supposed to look out for it and is testing it all, which is good. So I guess there's pros and cons, right, on either end that you do it.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why I think that, you know, we need to find a place in the middle that gives the consumer a safe product and gives people a sustainable way to grow it. And nobody is getting too greedy. Nobody's making insane amounts of money in any one area. And I think that there's a way of doing that. And with the hemp business right now, we are dealing with such an unregulated industry that I'm actually looking forward to a little more regulation. Mm. Because right now, I mean, anybody can put anything on their bottle that they want and sell it as CBD.
Oh.
So literally I could put...
That's dangerous, man.
It's so dangerous. And the fact that not a single person visits any farm. There's some states that have some type of regulation, but even those, they're so loose. So,
because there's about three or so different ways mainly on how to process this. And I mean, something like butane, when you process it with that, can be really dangerous to people's health that are using it versus other methods to do so. I mean, I keep my ear to the street around here, man. That's why I'm wearing my camouflage hat for today. you know, I heard that for a while, I don't know if it's still going on, that out in Colorado, that a lot of the farms out there got this disease on the plants that comes from tobacco leaves and plants, and this kind of disease that spreads into the flowers and things like that. And they were selling it anyway, and they were putting that out there, and that can make people sick. You know, and where is that, you know, that FDA, if you will, for cannabis and hemp?
Yeah, right now it's nowhere, because like there are some states that have some type of regulation, but even the ones that have regulation, it's just so loose. It's such the wild, wild west. Anybody can grow any amount of like. So the thing is, this plant is really good at bioaccumulating. So if you grow this on shitty land that's been sprayed with pesticides and has a lot of heavy metals and a lot of unsafe stuff in the soil, that is going to get into the plant. And they're actually using this plant to clean up a lot of lands, which is
interesting. How's it do that?
They actually have used it to clean up radioactive material before. And it's
what?
Yeah, because it's so good at bioaccumulating these stuff out of the soil. We can actually take soil that is been sprayed with all types of chemicals and has all types of horrible things going on with it and renew it to the point where it can become organic land through growing hemp on it.
Oh, keep going, man. Tell me more. I was just double checking some sound issues, man. I got a text that something wasn't right, but it is. People just like to mess with me when I'm live. So that's when they tell me I'm going live. So they're literally taking the hemp plant. And I mean, I've certainly heard about certain plants you can put in your house that helps get rid of toxins in the air and things like that. They do that in Mexico a lot with the bad air quality down there, putting certain plants on the roofs to bring in light. So they're literally planting hemp on purpose to clean up radioactive material.
Yeah, and this is what this plant is so versatile. I don't think that anybody understands what the full legality of hemp federally is going to do. The recent farm bill that's going through is going to allow for federal legalization of hemp. And it's quite ironic too, because the guy who was really the initiative is pushing that through was Mitch McConnell. Yeah.
He's tied to it somewhere, man. I mean, look, the only reason it got outlawed years ago, right, was because the cotton had already infested and taken over. It was the product that we are using, because you can make shirts, clothes. I mean, there's hardly anything you can't make out of it in some fashion. And there was no way Eli's gin wasn't going to be pulling the money out of all the rich cotton farmers at the time.
Yeah, and it's so incredibly versatile that people know that it's used for fiber and uses seed. But this whole CBD thing is just the very beginning. So the only molecule that the federal government really cares about is THC. And it's super funny when you look at all the molecules and all the cannabinoids that the plant produces, because like it's like a carbon chain here, or like a little difference in the molecule there. And then it's CBD, then it's CBG, then it's CBN. And there's a whole range of cannabinoids. There's hundreds of cannabinoids that this plant produces. And up until recently, the market has only demanded THC. So that's all we bred this plant for. But through breeding and genetics, and they're doing some pretty incredible things, some of these people that are on the leading edge, they have PCR machines that are able to isolate specific genes that control specific parts of the plant, whether it be photoperiod or the THC and CBD production. So all the molecules in the cannabinoids of the CBD and THC start as this other cannabinoid called CBG. And what determines whether it becomes THC or CBD is a gene. There's a specific gene that converts CBG to CBD and THC.
ABC. I just had to add that in there.
Yeah, right. Too many acronyms at this point. But it's so incredible, because each one of these molecules has a completely different effect on us. So CBD is amazing for a lot of different things, and we're just starting to discover what some of those things are. But CBG is just as healing for completely different reasons, some overlapping reasons like inflammation and things like that. But CBN, CBZ, there's so many different ones that we can start breeding for. And we can start to create these different combinations of cannabinoids that are going to produce all types of different healing effects.
Holy, I mean, this first time I'm really hearing about all the CBNs and CBGs. I mean, CBD, obviously, people are starting to hear about. A lot of people still don't know about it and how you kind of just remove the THC and not all of it, but are able to remove it. And we're just learning. But because it's been federally illegal, we haven't been able to test it, study it, no research done on it. So now we've just been able to open up Pandora's box, if you will, of hemp and what it can do and how we can move all these molecules around. I mean, sometimes I still feel like I'm like, what year are we in, man? That, you know, we've gone so deep with the study of so many things that this is, you know, one of the oldest plants and medicines around. And we're just now allowed to, well, federally not still allowed, but still are just now. Right. We're just peeking at the, you know, at the entrance of Pandora's box to all of the different health benefits it can have. And I don't want to go down conspiracy lane with pharmacology and pharmaceutical companies keeping that out because they go out of business. I mean, for me, it won't be long before Pfizer selling its own CBD, CBG, CBN as well. You know, when they can make the transition, they'll be there too. They're worth too much money to just let that go. But that's fascinating to me, man, that CBD is just the tip of the iceberg here.
Yeah, and I think CBG is going to be the next big popular one because there's this company that was able to find a mutation in one of their plants that has a 100-to-1 ratio CBG to THC. So 0.1% THC and 18% CBG. And it has a whole different world of healing effects. And they're going to start releasing those genetics. And that's just the first one. There's a lot of other ones coming down. And that is, I can tell you about a lot of other things. There's some other cannabinoids, or not just cannabinoids. It's the terpenes of the plant. So the smell that the plant produces. It's not just the cannabinoids that produce effects on us. It's all these different terpene molecules that have extreme healing properties as well. So anybody that's smoked marijuana enough knows that if you have five different strains that are all 20% THC or 15%, whatever percentage you want to choose, they're all the same percentage THC, but they all have different smells, meaning different terpene profiles. They're going to produce different effects, which is why people like the sativas and the indicas and that type of stuff. So by controlling the terpenes of this plant, we're going to be able to also create a completely different healing product as well. And what's so exciting about the terpenes is they're not just limited to healing. There's all types of applications to these. There's the same terpenes that are produced by the cannabis plant or the hemp plant are produced by the hops plant. So these are cousins. And the hops plant's a very difficult plant to grow. It takes about 5 years to mature. You lose about 20% of your vines every year because bacteria and disease, and it's a much more finicky crop. Well, you can grow a lot more flavor molecules in a hemp plant in one season than you can in a hop plant in 5 years. So they're going to be able to pull, and we can already do this with some of our extraction methods. We can take our concentrate and we can run it through what's called a short path distillation unit. And by doing this, this separates out the smell molecules from the CBD. So we have just the terpenes of the plant that we can then use for all types of different products. But they're going to start infusing these into beers and getting that heady, hoppy flavor without using all the hops that are necessary.
Yeah, and I think Modelo and Corona were the first to get in, and they're supposed to be releasing a CBD beer here next year.
Yeah, and it's not even just CBD. You know how people are like really loving the IPAs that are now available? I don't know if those are as popular down by you as they are up here, but they're kind of the latest rage in the beer world. And that is really where they're going to be used as flavors. Because there's still, I know that Long Trail tried to release a CBD beer last year and they weren't able to do it. There's, again, federal
you need
legalities.
And also, Corona money, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Mexico. Go Mexico. So I don't know. I'm just so excited about the potential of this plant and where it can go. And it's just, we're right at the, like you said, the tip of the iceberg. And we're finally starting to be able to study and understand this capability of the plant.
Yeah, let's back up, man. For a lot of people that don't know, I mean, for a lot of people, it's going to sound like we're speaking a different language, right? And I don't claim to be any expert on this. I was an expert years ago, back when when I was doing what I was doing with it. But it's come so far. I've just kind of given up. You know, I just kind of keep up where I can. You know, obviously getting educated from people like yourself and some of those still in the business too. But let's back up and walk. You know, from the hemp plant, and you know, most people a lot of people don't even understand hemp, cannabis being that difference, how it comes from a hemp to the plant, what the difference is between marijuana itself, hemp itself, and then how the cannabis sativa plant or a cannabis plant then somehow breaks down to CBD. So if you could, now I watched you kind of get in your flow there, your cognitive rampage, man. I'm trying to set you up back in one. Kind of walk the newbie to it, because there's tons of baby boomers that weren't smoking in the 60s and 70s that are experiencing pain now that are kind of creeping over. You know, one of my mom walked across the bridge and she's trying a little bit, you know, she won't smoke or anything, nothing THC, but it's funny to watch them cross over. And even some friends' parents that are like, hella no, for years are just going, Adam, have you seen this stuff? And I start laughing, right? I'm like, my God, welcome to the party here. But, you know, kind of walk through the basics, if you will, from, you know, cultivating a hemp plant that it turns to being able to make marijuana, then how that process goes down. And then we'll walk into how you all process to make CBD, et cetera.
Yeah. So I'm going to get into the process. But first, you just brought up a beautiful point about all these other people that are going to access this plant because of CBD and not having THC that a lot of people don't agree with. So there is only about 20% of THC users in the entire population. And 4% of that consumes 80% of our marijuana. So wow. They're super users.
A lot of people don't know that. And they ran into that here in Florida when they put the law that you need 100,000 qualifying patients to be able to open up dispensaries. Right now, they can only open up 5 each, and they're all stagnant now. So they're sitting on, you know, just thousands of pounds of product that they can't do anything with. That's not moving. People are all terrified that we're all going to be walking around weed smoking all over the place, you know. And like you said, man, it's a very small percentage.
Yeah, and what is also very interesting is that they've shown in states that have legalized is that percentage does not go up. People are going to smoke the weed as much as they smoke now, whether it's legal or not legal, which I thought was pretty fascinating. And some kind of interesting statistics on that were it doesn't take that much THC to overpopulate a population. You can grow the amount of Vermont's THC needs in 12 acres of land.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it's really not a lot of land. And there are a lot of markets and states who have kind of dropped the ball as far as oversaturating and giving out too many licenses and allowing people to grow just way too much. And it's really screwed the farmer, because these people, they can't even get rid of their shit for $100 a pound, which is insane.
Here comes the black market again. You know, yeah. What happens, yeah.
But so going back to the whole growing end of things, because I do think that this is it's a confusing thing when people hear hemp, marijuana, and all these different things thrown out, CBD, and so let me try to clear
and CBN.
Yeah, exactly. Now I just confuse the world even more. But so this is the thing about the hemp plant. Marijuana and hemp are both cannabis. Cannabis is a big umbrella. It contains a lot of different species. So the cannabis plant then can become a hemp plant or a marijuana plant determined by its THC content. Like I said, that's the only thing the federal government cares about. And what's interesting about the limit that it was set at is 0.3%. And how that was determined was complete pseudoscience. There was actually a doctor up in Canada who tested a bunch of male leaves, actually. He got some hemp samples and he just tested the leaf, and none of them tested over 0.3%. So he determined that that should be the difference between a marijuana plant and a hemp plant. Complete bullshit. There is actual industrial hemp that's not even grown for CBD that has full of seeds and it's just literally industrial hemp, and it will test over 0.3% THC. There is no science to back this law up. And it's crazy because literally you can have a hemp plant that you have certified genetics and you know for a fact that the mom and the dad were both within legality, like percentages for breeding, and you grow those hemp seeds. And if the environmental conditions are right and you stress a plant enough in a certain way, or you grow the plant too long, that hemp plant can become a marijuana plant as soon as it's over 0.3%. So you can have a plant that is a hemp plant and completely legal up until like 45 days of flowering. And then the environmental conditions switch to the point where you go over 0.3%. And now your hemp plant just became a marijuana plant.
All right. Based on no science whatsoever.
No science. It's literally just this arbitrary number that was picked out and unfortunately has been repeated and used so much that people think that there's actual science behind it.
That sounds like 30 or 60 or 90 days in rehab. It has no scientific standard or basis whatsoever. And people are like, well, he did 90 days. That was all set by insurance.
Exactly. So this is the law we all have to operate in right now, is a 0.3% legality. And there's so much wiggle room because there's some states that are like, oh, you have to be within that window 30 days before harvest. So we're going to come out and we're going to test your crop 30 days before you harvest. And then there's other states saying like, oh, because this plant's so complicated. If you take a bud off the top of one plant and you trim it up, it's going to have a completely different percentage than if you take a bud off the bottom of the plant and you don't trim it. It's all based on weight and percentages. So these people that are having issues getting their stuff down to 0.3%, they're like putting more leaf material in there. So it just increases the weight and lowers the THC percentage.
Shit.
So it's crazy. So right now, the only way to, and people are actually, they're growing hemp flower for, and just selling the flower whole, which I think is very risky. Cause like I said, there, unless you're testing every single flower, there's no real way to guarantee that it's below 0.3%. Even if you're selling industrial hemp that's full of seeds and garbage, which nobody wants to smoke. But if you're breeding this plant for high CBD production and you're growing for cannabinoids, you're not concerned about males at all. If I showed you one of our high CBD hemp plants, you would not be able to tell the difference between a high THC plant. They look the same. We're only growing females for oil production. You don't want any males because those are the things that produce pollen and produce seed in your females. So I don't know if people know this, but there's a male and there's a female cannabis plant. And the male plant produces pollen. The female plant is the one that produces buds that everybody likes to smoke and make all types of different medicine out of. And when you have a male plant next to a female plant, it will pollinate your female plant. And that's how you get seed.
I can this now going, yeah, we knew it.
If we grow just female plants, then we don't get any seed. And that actually gives us the highest oil production and the most healing product.
Interesting, man. All right. So back up again. We keep scrolling off, right? So I'm trying to act like I know nothing, right? I'm trying to act like that person who is maybe in pain or has been given some CBD by somebody. And I'm going, isn't this marijuana? What is the difference, right? So we got as far as the difference between the hemp plant and when it becomes a marijuana plant.
Yeah, man, you got to keep me on track.
You're asking the wrong dude, man.
Dude, I got this thing that my friends will say. Actually, one of my friends out in Florida, she coined it. She, whenever I just start going on my, I guess you'd call it a cognitive rampage, but she calls it a grangent. So I'm known to ramble and go in many directions, but if you keep me on track, I'll try to get the questions answered at some point.
No, I'll do my best, man. But I think a lot of the point is trying to get people educated, right? And so they just think, all right, that's a marijuana plant, right? And then there's a hemp plant. No, it's a hemp plant first, then it can become a marijuana plant. Once some arbitrary number is reached, then it crosses over. That's as far as we've gotten so far.
Okay. So once you grow your plant, obviously we're only growing female plants. We try to do that from feminized seed or from cutting. And after you grow your plant, there's a couple different ways to do it. We did have some crop that we tried to force flower to get some early production, but mainly you harvest in the fall. It's only an outdoor crop if you're growing for hemp. We started our plants inside of a greenhouse and we got them to about 6 inches tall. 8 to a foot, and then we put them out in the field. And out in the field, they grow up to maturity. And then in the fall, we come back and harvest these plants. And when we harvest, we take the plants and we hang them. I got really lucky, and we had a couple amazing neighbors this year. The whole project, honestly, came. Here I go off on a little tangent, man. So, I'm trying to restrain myself, but the whole project actually came together through a pretty beautiful synchronicity, where I actually had a relationship at the farmer's market with an organic farmer. So I was selling my other products that I was already creating. I was creating a mushroom tincture, another herbal tincture that was another plant called holy basil or tulsi. And I also had some other stuff I was trying to promote. We had something called Reiki. I don't know if we have time to go down that little rabbit hole. But anyways, I was at this farmer's market, and I already had a really beautiful relationship with this organic farmer. And last year at this time, I actually got the intention to grow hemp. I saw the viability of it all. I saw where the industry was going, and I had an extreme calling to try to grow as much as I could. So I made the intention that I wanted to grow 10,000 hemp plants. I didn't have really any money. I didn't have any land to grow it. I didn't have any means of growing 10,000 hemp plants. It was just something I just wanted to put out to the universe and try to see what would happen. So I asked this farmer that I was friends with at the farmer's market, and he was actually the first person I asked to get on board. And it was so effortless how it all came together from there. I went over, I met with the owner of the house, because he actually was farming this land that he didn't own the house, but the guy who did own the house, he's a corporate lawyer from New Jersey. And he has, but he's really a hippie that went to Amherst.
All right. I'm just saying, man, when the lawyer owns the land and he's from Jersey,
Careful. I know. When I heard that, I was like, oh man. But the guy said, he said he was cannabis friendly. So I was still went into the meeting optimistic, and I met the guy, and really he is the nicest guy who is truly a hippie at heart, who wants to kind of just grow hemp with us and raise Newfoundlands in Vermont. But it was beautiful, because I went and met with them. They were all for the project. They kind of gave me the okay to go ahead with it, and we put it all together. And what was so beautiful is I had no idea, but the organic farmer I asked to team up with, he went to Cornell for plant breeding and genetics, and had tons of chemistry lab experience that I had no idea about. So
what a team then, man. My God, you take your knowledge and mix it with a Cornell education, and you get a Vermont Pure CBD full spectrum wellness product.
Seriously. And the corporate lawyer who has friends that could fund the project and give us six figures to buy an expensive extractor that we needed to make the whole project happen.
Yeah, I heard about those machines, man. There's only a few companies at the time when I heard about it that were making those machines. I knew a few companies that were moving that machine around and putting it in one location, having to send everything there to be processed. I mean, I was hearing something around $60,000 to $250,000 for some of these machines.
Yeah, it's nuts. We paid six figures for ours. So it was not a cheap purchase. But it's the only way to extract this stuff at volume. Like, if you're growing thousands of pounds, you need to be able to process that shit pretty quickly. So if you don't have expensive equipment, good luck processing that type of quantity.
Yes, this is when I laugh when I do hear people in Florida going, yeah, I'm going to open up my own dispensary. I'm going to start growing. And I'm like, you have no idea, man. Like, just because you've been smoking blunts for 10 years doesn't mean that you're going to operate this stuff, man. I mean, it's scientific stuff. And now the levels have come up so high, the cost to get in is ridiculous, man. And I mean, what a beautiful project, man. And it's good for people listening to know, you know, how Vermont Pure CBD came together. I mean, you got Cornell educated people, you got yourself who's educated in the field, and you're doing it proper and doing it right and for right reasons. I think that's important for people to know. And then to back you up,
Get me back on track.
Yeah, that's not, no worries, man. Those are good things to get out there. That's what I'm saying. This is the Cognitive Rampage, baby. That's what it's all about. So, you know, going back, you know, you have the hemp plant. The hemp plant then becomes a marijuana plant once it crosses over a certain percentage, which is arbitrary, that turns it into marijuana plant. And then from the marijuana plant, the females particularly, this is where then you use this very expensive machine to then process the cannabis to make CBD.
Precisely. So
I passed.
Thank you. You're right on tracks and you got me right back on it. So I appreciate that. So we take the hemp once we dry it. And this is another thing that I feel like separates us from a lot of companies. A lot of these hemp companies that are really, really big have incredibly large facilities and they have much bigger growing capacity than us. And they have to speed dry their stuff. There's actually some combines that are getting created. People are getting pretty creative with the harvesting process and the drying process because that's a real bottleneck in this industry right now. As far as growing thousands of plants, people can grow thousands of plants, but when it comes to harvesting and processing and drying, that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, I visited one of the ones here in Florida, one of the bigger names that I'll leave out. But I interviewed their CEO, which now they have a new CEO, but walked through their facility and, you know, they had more land than they even needed to be able to process the amount to supply Florida with what was legally sellable at the time. And there were 15 different rooms, but walking through the process of this room to that room to the drying room, you know, like you said, they were huge, man, and in operation. So what's the difference between putting it in a drying room? And just to catch people up again, we've grown the hemp plant. The hemp plant has matured to a flowering bud, which has crossed it over into marijuana plant. That marijuana plant is then harvested, picked, if you will.
Stop here real quick. It's not a so we harvest it before it becomes a marijuana plant. That's an important detail.
Okay. Yeah. It's legally, it's an important detail, right? Because of the arbitrary number that doesn't mean anything.
There you go.
Right. Okay. Right. So then that's harvested. And now literally, I mean, some places handpicked, but you said they're coming up with combines like to where they're, what I'm imagining is they're just going to grow five times more than they need to, then let this machine run through and pick what it needs to. And if you get some losses along the way, then fine.
Perfect segue. So yeah, we're in a very developing industry right now, and there's a lot of different methods getting tested right now. And I think some are much better than others. There's two different CBD products that are widely available right now. And there's a big difference. One of them is called Isolate and another is called Full Spectrum. So this is a very confusing thing for the consumer because
before you go on a grandjet, just to catch some people up that are novice to this, the idea is to extract the THC right out of the plant is what I'm guessing is to isolate the CBD as far as into to try to extract the THC from it with these machines and processes.
So that's not what we believe in. We believe in the full spectrum healing effects of this plant. And in order to get a full spectrum product, you need to have a little THC, have a little bit of all the other cannabinoids, so the CBGN, the CBG and the CBN and the CBZ and all these other ones I mentioned. But not only that, the terpenes, as I mentioned before, are extremely healing and important. And that's one of the things that makes us different when we harvest and dry our product. So when we harvest, we hang dry our stuff in a barn and slow dry it. As I said, there's a lot of people who they don't have the space to hang. Some of these people are growing up over 100 acres at this point. There's some big, big farms out there. And you can imagine what 100 acres, you can fit about 1,000 plants on an acre, give or take, depending on how your spacing is. But when you're talking about 100 acres, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of plants.
So they got to speed dry them in some other way other than being able to hang them in a barn.
Exactly. And when you speed dry, the thing about these terpene molecules is they're a lot more volatile than the cannabinoids. So if you're growing for a full spectrum medicine, I think it's going to be extremely important to show that you're slow drying your hemp and you're not speed drying it and you're not losing your terpenes.
Let me help too, though, because I have this cool metaphor that hit me, man. I'm quite the chef at the house, and all I could imagine was going, whether I let my steak thaw on its own or get to room temperature, or I put it in the microwave and defrost it. You know, if I put my steak in the microwave and try to defrost it that way from unfreezing and cook it right away, it's shit. But if I let it sit out and I let it naturally dry on its own or get to room temperature on its own without speed unfreezing it or even freezing it at all, I get a much better outcome. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, is rather than speed drying it, which takes those sensitive taste molecules or whatever that gives you that wonderful flavor of a steak, and in your case, the cannabis molecules that you need, you can destroy them or even manipulate them because we don't know that much about it. So if I heat up those molecules, what happens to them?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And that the terpenes are true across the board. There's every plant, and the reason why all these herbs are so aromatic is because of their terpene profile. And the terpene molecules, they're really volatile, and you can lose them really easily. And one of the best ways to lose them is heat. And fortunately, heat's a really great way to dry too. So people sacrifice speed of drying for losing terpenes.
Sacrifice quality for the quantity to meet the number.
Exactly. And the thing about the isolates, going back to that whole conversation, is it doesn't really matter if you speed dry it if you're making isolates. So isolate would be 100% CBD. You would take our concentrate out of it once it comes out of our machine, and you would run pentane through it. It's a gas that binds to the CBD that creates CBD crystals. And when you crystallize the CBD, you're getting about 99.8% pure CBD, and it doesn't have anything else in it typically. So,
but I'm losing all the other healing properties of the terpenes, like you said.
Not only the terpenes, but there's a huge thing called the entourage effect that they're finding. It has so just by having a little bit of THC and a little bit of the other cannabinoids, it actually makes the CBD a lot more healing. If anybody has tried 10 milligrams of isolate and 10 milligrams of full spectrum, they know that it's a completely different experience. And all the studies are showing this now. And the only reason to really use an isolate at this point is there's still some people that are unfortunately getting drug tested. And even though they want to use CBD and they know CBD helps them for whatever reason, they can't use a full spectrum product because it bioaccumulates in the body. And if you use a full spectrum product every day, you can potentially fail a drug test.
Yeah, but you can go out and do as much coke and alcohol as you want to on the weekends before you come to work on Monday, because coke's out of your system in about 24 to 48 hours, and the alcohol is too, right? That's okay though, right?
It's really ludicrous right now as far as the drug laws and what we're able to do and how people have to live. It's crazy to me that people have to use a more inferior form of this medicine because they're getting drug tested, even though the small amount of THC in there is doing nothing but make them fail a drug test, not even shifting their consciousness or getting them high.
No even psychoactive effect.
No psychoactive effects, but just because it bioaccumulates in the body, they're not allowed to have any THC at all.
This is beautiful, man, because this is where I start to lose my education, which I'm gaining now, right? Is so that I've seen the CBD isolates where people are selling that pure 99.8% isolate CBD, but what they're not telling you is it has none of the other healing properties and other terpenes in it. They got lost the way they were making it, as well as there's also healing properties in the THC that gets lost. And so people are losing that. So the difference of people out there shopping CBD, otherwise, I mean, you shouldn't shop anywhere other than Vermont Pure CBD Wellness. I'm just saying, is that different? So when somebody, because I've had people ask me, well, the full spectrum, what's the difference with full spectrum isolate? You've clearly laid that out and the difference in the properties here. And what is the amount to when the psychoactive effect begins to kick in? Do we know that?
I mean, it's different for everybody. And honestly, the terpenes are pretty psychoactive. So if you have a really high terpene variety, I've actually really enjoyed switching over to CBD is a form of smoking. And instead of THC, it produces a completely different effect. And one of the things I use it most for is its ability to control ADHD.
Interesting. Yeah, when I don't smoke cannabis anymore, full THC cannabis. I've put that down for a while now, and I just wanted to test myself. It's been a part of my life for a long time, so I put it down, and I haven't touched it in a while now until, I'm getting a little bit with the CBD when I use your product, but I'd operate better. I just have to say I operate better. I certainly smell better. and you don't get a whole lot of different effects, and some positive, some good. I'm not denouncing anybody that smokes THC. Do what works for you. I always say if somersaults work for you, do that. I'm not denouncing anything. It's what works for the individual. But I have certainly enjoyed the switch over myself, and have found different various reasons to use it, why not to use it, you know, when to use it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm finding is that we're all self-medicating and trying to find the thing that works for us. And I have been using cannabis for a long time because this plant has had something that has helped me in a lot of ways. But I didn't realize that I could have probably been I could have had a lot better relationship with this plant if I had access to CBD earlier on. And I find that the effects when I use CBD versus THC, they're completely different. And one of the things I am most excited about is its ability to not only calm people down, but I really think that it is going to be one of the best things for ADHD medication in the future.
I'm a huge advocate of it. I would say I'm on the spectrum somewhere, depends on what day it is. When I used to have to sit down and do long presentations or things like that, I was able to sit down and do so. I used to tell people to do an ADHD test on yourself that has, a little science behind it, but I used to say if you can sit down and you drink a cup of coffee and you fall asleep on caffeine, more than likely you may be on the ADHD spectrum. But if you drink that caffeine and you're bouncing all over the place and it's working on you as it should, then more than likely you're not on that spectrum. So I saw the same thing with using THC, that it, you know, if you could smoke it and you could sit down and type a paper, write a book, whatever it is you were doing, more than likely it's helping you on that spectrum.
Yeah, and I think I definitely fall on that spectrum as well. Luckily, I wasn't one of the kids that was forced medication at any point, and I feel like I had enough of a IQ and an ability to control it where it never got really in my way from succeeding. I was able to get through high school and college with B grades and didn't really suffer.
Well, brother, I've actually did an entire show about those in the middle actually have it tougher, if you ask me, because when you're on the severe end spectrum or moderate to severe end spectrum, you kind of know what you're dealing with and you can approach it in various ways and treat that. When you're on the low end of the spectrum, you tend to go through life pretty good. And then as you get older, all the stuff that you can't focus and finish on begins to add up. And a lot of times the low end spectrum ADHD people wind up depressed. They wind up anxious later in life because they didn't quite focus on it all the way to the end. And so it's hard to notice. And so when something like CBD can come around, and I know it has an effect on that. I do my three drops before I sit down and do whatever booking I'm doing on the show, or when I got to write a big presentation for whatever I'm doing. I got about five projects going on right now. So, you know, I spend a lot of time having to build presentations and do things like that. I know I do two or three drops, man, and I'm good for an hour or two to sit down and focus and get done what I need to get done. And so here I go squirreling off, man. You know, that middle of the road to less, that moderate to mild condition people, ADHD, tend to have it tougher over time, you know?
That's interesting. I'd love to see those studies, because I honestly, I feel like I've turned my ADHD issues into a gift in a lot of ways. And I don't think I'd be the successful entrepreneur that I am today without it. And what I've found helps the most, honestly, is CBD, meditation, and microdosing LSD, honestly.
Yeah, well, you're seeing a lot more of that, pop up. And look, also, I would tell you the way that you tell the story about it, right? If I'm telling a story, I'm fucked, man. I got ADHD. Or if you go, I have ADHD, so I utilize and get into the business that allows that to be a benefit to what I have, then it can help you. So how you tell the story is a huge difference too.
Yeah, I think we're all one. We're all so close to major change just by telling us a different story. We're all so attached to our past and attached to our stories and attached to whatever our parents told us we were, our teachers or our friends. And we all have these attachments to these stories that we are. And that is one of the things that I've been shown the most the last couple of years is that we are so much greater than our story, and we're so much more capable and bigger than anything we previously thought we were.
Yeah, bro. How we tell that story, man. I mean, if I tell it a lot, I say it a lot, man. If I gave somebody a microphone and I tell me your story, would it be like, oh, where do I start with this shit, man? Oh my God. You know, are you a lifetime drama? You know, do you tell it like an epic hero journey? You know, how we tell those stories, and, you know, society, our parents, they certainly influence us. But who we tell ourselves we are matters most and has the most strength overall.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the whole hero's journey thing, because that's literally what I feel like I've been on since I quit my job. I feel like that was my initial call, and I had a really hard time explaining to people why I was leaving that job that was providing me with security, a good paycheck.
Is your mom doing better now that you... Because it's always the mom that goes, you left health insurance. What is wrong with you, man?
She had a hard time accepting it at first, but man, that is one of the things I am beyond blessed with, is a support network that is just as strong as I could have ever hoped for. My parents are really as loving and supportive about all my crazy ideas than I could ever expect. It's just amazing to have these people that I feel like are always going to be there for me no matter what I do. And I think that is one of the pieces that allows me to take the chances that I've taken in the last couple of years, and to have them just trust me and love me no matter what I do is beyond valuable.
Agreed, bro. All right, so let's go back. All right, let's back it back up to the competence part, right? So we got as far as talking about isolates and the difference of the isolates in a full spectrum and what the full spectrum allows for. So if you're shopping CBD out there and you already know the difference of CBD and the difference between, you know, cannabis or THC, I should say. I like kind of trying to recap or summarize as I learned as a psychologist, right? So, you know, you grow the hemp plant. After a while, the hemp plant becomes a marijuana plant over a certain arbitrary number that qualifies it to be so. We then process that marijuana, that cannabis bud, if you will, through
processing hemp still, but yeah,
okay, processing hemp still legally up there, right? And so, well, actually, while we're there, kind of walk through the difference between what you're processing to make CBD versus what you're processing or picking or making to have THC.
Okay, so I think I might have confused you slightly with the whole 0.3% thing.
Anything, I'm the dummy, so
No, you're not a dummy at all. I just think that I just want to make it clear that we are still processing hemp. It just, the thing, you make a good point though. So when we take the plant material and we run it through our extractor, which is another thing to talk about, we use alcohol.
I was going to get there. So back up to what you're processing. Are you processing the buds?
Yeah, we're processing flowers. So we grow the hemp and we take all of the flower and leaf off of the stem. And then we take that material and we extract all the cannabinoids and terpenes out of that using alcohol extraction.
Gotcha. So you're not processing the buds themselves for extraction?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we're using. But
I said it the other way then.
Yeah, no, we're using the leaves, the buds, and everything except the stems to process.
Okay, I just confused it with which direction was getting processed. No worries. Go ahead.
So there has been there's a lot of debate on what the best way to extract this stuff is. But I think if anybody does their research, they'll see that alcohol is a far superior solvent to CO2. And as you mentioned, butane. I don't think anybody's using butane because we all know that that's a pretty dangerous solvent. But even CO2 can be dangerous. And
What are the differences, man? Sorry to cut you off. Are those the main ways to do it? Really, alcohol and, well, not butane anymore, but I forget what you mentioned in the ladder.
CO2.
Yeah, CO2.
And also, there's a new technology that isn't as widely used in hemp because it's really hard to do on a large scale, but rosin press, where they're just using heat and pressure to extract the oil out of the plant. But as far as the solvents go, alcohol pulls the most full spectrum medicine from everything we've researched and found. It's far superior to CO2. The only reason CO2 has gotten so big is because the people that are making these expensive extractors, they've done a really good job at convincing these people. A lot of these people don't really know. They don't. Luckily, we have somebody from Cornell with a chemistry background, but most people don't have that luxury. A lot of the people in this industry are just hippies that want to grow this plant. And they're getting taken advantage of by a lot of these extraction companies that are selling them a bill of goods that really isn't based in truth. And I think that alcohol is a far superior solvent and extraction method over CO2, even though there's a lot of people that are still extracting with CO2.
All right. So I think it's important to cover those extraction methods. So is there any danger? Am I adding anything poisonous by extracting with alcohol that's dangerous to my body?
No, and that's the beautiful thing about our method is that not only do we extract with the alcohol, but our machine recovers and reuses all the alcohol. So there's no actual alcohol in our product. We're just using it to pull the medicine out of the plant, and then we evaporate all the alcohol back up and recondense it and collect it again. So it's super sustainable. We collect about 99.9% of the alcohol that we reuse. We only lose a very little amount each time we run the plant material. And from there, we get our full spectrum oil that we're able to put into any of our products.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. So, before I screwed us up walking from what's processed, now that you've been kind enough to clean me up, that of what's being processed to get that CBD oil. Once that CBD oil, or before it's processed, we covered how it's either the isolate, right, where it's just none of the other healing properties you've mentioned, CBG, CBN, THC, all of those are removed, and that's all you got, which helps people at least because, you know, they may fail a drug test at work. But the full spectrum really is the full-on CBD healing medicine as a whole.
Yeah, and I would really urge people to try a lot of different products. And if you, because there's so many
people. I wouldn't. I would urge people to try in Vermont.
Well, no, here's the thing. So the reason I said that was because there are a lot of people that are using an isolate right now that just because it has some CBD, they are experiencing some medicinal effects. But if they switched over to a full spectrum, like the stuff that we sell, I think they would have a completely different experience. And even if you're on a full spectrum, I would urge people to try our products because this is a testimonial and something that we continually hear from people that have already used other people's CBD and they've been using it for 6 months for whatever reason. They try our product and they either have to use less milligrams, or even if they use the same milligrams, it's a more effective product for them. And this is something we routinely hear. And I think that's because there's just so much unregulation in this industry.
Yeah. I'm testimonial to itself. You know, I in my family, genetic line of psoriasis, that's nothing you get or catch. It's passed down genetically. And sometimes when I get stressed out, I get a little itchy under here or something like that. And it can be it's almost, I don't want to say debilitating, but it's like, my God, you know what I mean? It tears me up. So I tried some of that roll-on stuff underneath there. Holy shit. Dude, I tried steroids, which they give you to put on this other stuff, where I just smell like a coal factory, which can cause cancer if you wear it. Put it on too much, especially where it's absorbed under the underarm. It can get you really sick. So I didn't want to go all that route, so I just deal with it. Holy shit, man. Some of the roll-on and a couple of those drops in 48 hours, gone. It's just gone, man. Just disappeared. I mean, add that to your list, by the way. It's not on here.
I should. Yeah. You're not the only one, man. My girlfriend gets the same issue, and it clears it right up. It's incredible.
It's wild, man. And psoriasis affects a lot of people. And I mean, you wouldn't see so many commercials on TV for it. It really does. And that's something to add to that long list of what you're dealing with. So, I mean, I'm testifying. You're right. Yeah. I'm here at church to preach on, brother. But that's like I said, you all do sponsor the show. But, like, you know, I went through the test and stuff with you. I don't want to promote anything that I either don't use or I don't trust. And the beautiful part about you coming on the show, which is why I wanted you to do it, is so people don't just hear me talking about my testimonial and what to use and doing some ad reads, that they know the story. They know the story behind Vermont Pure CBD. They know the story. They know who's growing it, what's behind it, the land that it comes from, the knowledgeable people that are putting it together. I mean, we want to know where our meat comes from, right? Where our food comes from, where all this comes from. This is a chance where people can know where their CBD full spectrum is coming from and the difference, you know, of what an isolate is, what CBD is. Does CBD get me high, which it does not, right? And what is full spectrum versus isolate CBD here? Oh, my God, I'm missing out on properties which could help me, because a lot of people that use isolate CBD, THC, they run into the issue where they need more, the tolerance issue, to where they either have to up their THC levels or find different ways to intake that so the medicine's still effective. And, you know, isolate's probably the same thing, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And you just brought up about 100 ideas. And I, again, appreciate you so much having me on the show, because I do think that this is a very unregulated and an industry that really needs some education and some guidance. Because there's a lot of people that are interested in taking CBD. They've heard it works for whatever issue, and they just don't know where to start. Yeah. So the fact you're giving me a platform to help people out with that.
Sorry about that, man. I get excited too.
You got to keep going. Yeah.
I've been in the marijuana world since I was slanging it back when I was 19, right? So I've seen the transition and change a lot. So there's so many people that sometimes it gets so confusing, we tend to just shut off. You know what I mean? So a lot of people that don't know about CBD, or, you know, I run into people all the time where they're like, oh, CBD, isn't that just another form of marijuana? I'm like, well, yeah, but you don't get high, man. No psychoactive effects here. This is medicine. Well, that's just what you hippies are saying, so you can sell it and smoke it all down the street. And you're like, my God, you know, but then when somebody gets that pain, they get that arthritis, and then all of a sudden they're one of the loudest preachers of this. And to know where it comes from, right? That's one of the rules of anything. I think we think about food, our money, right? Our children, we want to know where they came from. And, you know, this is a chance to know where it comes from and also educate those that get too confused, man, because there's 1,000,010 products now of what you can buy, from gummy bears to soon beer, right? And what is CBD? And I think you've explained a lot of that, you know, very clearly on here, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that you make a really good point about how you want to know where your food came from, and you want to make sure that is somewhat controlled in a way. And this industry, I think, is even more important to know where you're getting your medicine from, because it's even more unregulated, and there's way more fuckery in this business than there is the meat and food business, which is crazy right now. Because I worked in that industry, and I know how much bullshit goes on in that place too. So yeah, I think it's super important to know where your CBD is coming from and to really trust your supply at this point in the game, because it's the only way to really know what you're getting.
Yeah, man. I use one of my favorite words, in fuckery. There's a lot of fuckery out there, and there really is, especially when there's billions of dollars to be made and big corporations are getting into it and trying to process more and speed it up more. I mean, it's what happened with our food, right? We grew our own, we hunted our own, and then all of a sudden farming and industrial farming hit. We knew our local farmer, you know, we either shot it ourselves, and then that changed over time. And now what I think the average meal that we eat, that the average American eats a day, comes from 1,100 miles away. You know, so we wonder why we have diseases and sickness, and 1 in 3 are obese, right? I mean, there's issues that come with that. And this medicine is certainly medicine, and that, you know, people need to know where it comes from.
Yeah. And another beautiful thing about this is that, like you said, there is so many different applications. When you showed up that list, it kind of reminded me of how versatile everything is. And that's why we make so many different products, and we're not just sticking to one thing. Because if you have one issue that CBD can help, it really depends on the issue and the person on what form to take it. We offer a couple different internal products, from tinctures to capsules. And I would suggest a tincture to anybody.
You're going to have to walk through that because I can picture somebody that doesn't know and they go, I'm just understanding isolates in full spectrum here. You keep saying this word tincture and I, you know, or isolates and, you know, walk through, you know, a little bit about what that is.
Okay. So once we make our extraction and we have our concentrate, we test each batch of concentrate, first of all, which a lot of other companies don't do. And we determine exactly the percentage of CBD content and all the other cannabinoids as well. But CBD is the only one that we're really concentrated on controlling the precise milligrams about. The rest of the stuff is not really, there's more variables with it. But when we make each product, we make sure that it's down to the milligram of what we say it is, which is different than a lot of companies. Because there's a lot of companies that are calling a gram of concentrate 1,000 milligrams of CBD. When if it's not isolate, it's not 1,000 milligrams of CBD. And even if it is isolate and it's 1,000 milligrams of CBD, it's not nearly as healing as 1,000 milligrams of full spectrum. So when we take our concentrate, typically a lot of our distillate comes out about 55 to 60%, depending on what material we're working with. And from there, a gram of that oil, if it's 60% CBD, has 600 milligrams. So when we're putting 600 milligrams into a bottle, it's 600 milligrams of CBD, and it's not 0.6 of actual concentrate, which we find a lot of people are doing in this industry. Because like I said, you can put anything on your label, and as long as it has some CBD in it, people will find that it works at some level. It's just that there's nobody to really back up what people are saying. So you really have to trust the people that you're buying this from and know that it's what it says. Because I've actually had people that are buying from really reputable companies. I'm not going to mention any other names because I don't want to tarnish anybody, but they're using our products at a quarter of the concentration that they were using the previous CBD at, and it's working better. And that's either because it's an isolate, which they claim it's not. They claim it's full spectrum. And the only other explanation is that these companies that are lying on their CBD, and we've actually done some testing, and it's kind of scary what those tests come out as and what people are advertising products as. It's very, very unregulated right now.
And people thought they had an issue at the grocery store. Just trying to figure what is what. I mean, and you got FDA somewhat looking over that, you know, and allowing things with no regulation here in this. So literally they can, and who's going to test it, right? Other than you all and small farmers and people that are advanced into this that may test it. But the person in pain is just getting it from where they always got it from, being creatures of habit that I can put on the label. I can Google what I'm supposed to have or what my doctor tells me I'm supposed to have. And I think I'm getting that when I'm not.
Yeah, and people are getting the testimonials, and what people are saying is so powerful that people are just taking whatever CBD first comes their way. You wouldn't believe, Adam, how many people I've talked to that are taking CBD every single day, and they don't know the most basic of information about the CBD they're taking. They don't know how many milligrams their product is, and they don't know the brand that they're even taking. They just say, oh, I know I'm taking CBD and it's helping me.
Oh, and my just, God.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing that we're working in this type of space right now, because like I said, I'm really looking forward to a little more regulation, because I think there is way too much fuckery going on, and there's way too many people that are getting away with shit they shouldn't be getting away with. And the fact that we don't cut any corners and we're putting out the best product that we could possibly put out, and we still say it's 600 milligrams and we don't abuse our advertising at all. I wish everybody was doing that, because there hasn't been a single person that's taken our product yet who's tried other people's product and doesn't find our product to be better. And I think there's other reputable companies out there. I just don't think that they're easy to find. And I think most of the people that are selling CBD right now, they're not doing things the way you should be doing things.
Yeah, especially, otherwise they'd be sponsoring this show, baby. But they don't, man. And again, this is important, man. We've done an hour and a half already, brother.
Awesome. It's gone by like really fast. I got a lot more to share if you're open for it.
Well, I do, but I have my comedy night tonight. So I do a comedy night at Off the Hook where I host it and do a little bit of my own stand-up I'm trying to get into. I do not call myself a comedian yet. I've not earned that. I've done a few sets here and there that get a few giggles. But, yeah, I got to head over to Off the Hook here soon and get there. But, man, if before we do leave, though, I want to give that opportunity. Kind of if there was this one thing you wanted to make sure you were going to say on the show or wanted to get out there, podcast remorse is a huge thing. I experienced it ever since getting off of Joe Rogan. I got to watch that again and go, what the fuck, you know, where I went off. So I try to give everybody that comes on the show that kind of that opportunity to either clear up something they said or make sure they get out that one thing they wanted to get to.
That's a tough one, dude. How much time do I got? No, honestly, I mean, that is a hard question because there's a lot more I'd like to share. If anybody has any questions regarding CBD and navigating this confusing world, please email us. We are open to answer any personal questions from anybody who wants any more clarification about anything. Sorry if I didn't make things a little bit more clear and I was a little scattered on this podcast, but there's a lot that I want to share with you. And I want to also say that first podcast episode that you had our ad on, that you talked about your stand up and everything just the other day, the last podcast you released.
Oh, remember?
Yeah, exactly. That, honestly, again, the synchronicities in my life are just incredible. And the fact that that was the first episode that we advertised on. And I literally was listening to that episode today and I was just like, yes, yes. Like everything was resonating so hard with me and everything from the whole fear of money thing. Like I had to go through that whole piece and now I'm able to look at money just as another form of energy. And the more of that I make, the more people I'm going to be able to help. And I think I'm going to do a lot more beautiful things with the money out there than some of these corporations like Apple who are stockpiling it in caves or wherever the fuck else they're doing with it. But I really look at money as a form of energy and I really just look at everything as energy at this point. And I'm really trying to put out the best energy I can on a daily basis, put out the most positive message I can and really inspire people to do the same. Because I really do think that we're all incredible beings with incredible abilities that are way greater than any of us like to actually know. And we all have this side of ourselves that is literally limitless and has no fear, has no worries, knows exactly what to do, acts completely in love and can change the world. And if we just access that side of ourselves and we allow it to flow through us, you don't know what you're capable of.
Now that's what I call a cognitive rampage, brother.
Awesome. Adam, I can't thank you enough. I really, really appreciate all that you've done. And the fact that you're advertising for us is awesome. And I can't think of a better podcast to make my debut on.
Oh, man. You get all beclimped here, baby. You'll wrap me up in some love and eyes like that. I'm not afraid to show those emotions, man. I'm glad you're a part of it. And it means a lot to me, man. I've been approached, I don't know, over the last year by a few sponsors that I'm just like, nope. You know, and a lot of times I say, well, I mean, book yourself on the show and I see if they do that first and they won't. And I kind of go, nope, you got to be willing. You know, I mean, I listen to probably the same podcast that you do. And I'm still waiting for a lot of those companies that advertise on those podcasts to come be on the podcast to talk about literally what, you know, they do and where their product comes from. But I'm gonna get all teary eyed on you, baby. I'm grateful for what you're doing, the energy you're putting out there, the medicine you're providing, and your goal to produce better and better and better medicine to help people and do it in a the most organic way possible, the cleanest way possible, the healthiest way possible, and that you thought to reach out to little old Cognitive Rampage, who's been back here gumping them, as I like to say, hashtag gumping them, been running and not quitting for about almost 4 to 5 years now, man. And you're episode 220 for us here at the Rampage, man. And I appreciate you all too very much, man.
Thank you so much, Adam. And I honestly, I've been on a crazy spiritual journey and I didn't get to like half the other things that I'd like to share. I got a lot of other modalities and healing things that I've been exploring. And if you're open to continuing the conversation, I'd love to share more.
Yeah, man. Look, you're welcome on this show when you give a phone call now, brother. You're a part of it and a member of the family here now. So Yeah, that there's no issue here. I feel like it's you. What, this hour and 40 minutes went by like it was nothing. So that's how you know you got a good vibe and a good energy going when you can chat with somebody. I think it'd be even cooler if maybe we come up to Vermont and we broadcast from your farm on site. Or if you find yourself in Florida one day, you're more than welcome to come to the Cognitive Cave studio and we'll sit down at the new table. I love our new podcast table, by the way. It's badass. It looks like an old knight's table or something. All the knights would have sat around. Like, I take my podcast table seriously, bro. I've been through three of them, man, and I just sold the other one yesterday, which I was sad to see her go. But I bought this one, dude. It is so cool what we're doing to the cave in here. We got these purple velvet curtains going up and some old medieval lanterns we're putting in. I ordered the pictures of my, I call them the five horsemen of psychology and mental health, these black and white pictures of Bandura, Jung, Freud, and Ellis that are all going up in here. So, but this table's awesome, dude. It's so cool. I can't show anybody right now, but I wish I could. But a lot more to come here. And so if you're ever down here, you're more than welcome to be in the cave with us and chat.
Fuck yeah, Adam. Yes to both. You're always welcome to Vermont and you got a place to stay. And I would love to have a conversation whenever you want, either on the podcast or over the phone or whatever.
Yeah, man. I'll throw a little something out there personal, man. The last time I was in Vermont, I had a girlfriend that was from Vermont at the time. And funny enough, both her parents are Cornell graduates and attorneys and lawyers. And her sister even was a Cornell soon to be a lawyer, right? And she didn't quite go that way. And then she brings home this country thug that shows up at the biggest damn Christmas table I ever sat at with all these uppity people. It's hilarious, man, because they all gave each other running gear for Christmas, all this black running gear. I was tripping, man. And I'm just a Southern boy from Pine Hills Hood, raised country in Ocoy, and I'm you know, we have hospitality down here, you know, but they didn't have any food, man. I wasn't laid out. I had to dress up to go to dinner, you know, and I shit you not, as we got taken back across the ferries in Burlington, Vermont, as as the dad was taking us back to the airport to drop us off, this motherfucker pulls me to the side and I shit you not, tries to pay me off to leave his daughter.
No, that's fucking insane.
I shit you not, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, I was deep in the nightclub business, you know, so I mean, I felt like I was balling at the time, you know, and at dinner we had this discussion. Her mom goes, so isn't everyone down south just fat? I was like,
I'm like, from Vermont.
I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, she just said that, and how they were so anti-death penalty, right? And then we got in this bad debate about if someone raped your daughter, wouldn't you want, you know, what, you're just gonna okay with it, right? It was a bad discussion, right? And let's just say I tickled it to be a bad discussion, doing what I do when I realize I'm getting to them. And I call my grandmama and I'm like, Mama, these people are mean, man. She's like, why don't you just come home, baby? You don't have to be there anyway. And I shit you not, I left a day early, changed the flight, booked, paid extra. I didn't give a fuck. I'm like, let me out of here, man. And dad pulls me to the side while we're standing there. And he's like, I'll give you 15 grand if you leave my daughter.
And what'd you do?
I said, motherfucker, fuck you, man. I said, I missed 15 grand this weekend being here and not being in my club, man. So, nah, bro, you can keep that shit, man. And anyway, we broke up like 2 months later anyway.
Good for you, man. Well, you should have taken the money, I guess. But
damn. So,
hold on to those morals. And I think you just got another comedy bit. You better turn that story into that shit tonight. Yeah, you had me the whole time, so I wanted to share that with you.
I'm gonna write that shit down right there. Yeah, I'm gonna try that tonight, man. But I shit you not, man. And it would be even funnier to tell you that's the second parent that tried to pay me off in my life.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's so funny. I've never had that experience, but
oh, it was funny, man. Yeah, I won't go into the first experience. Long story short, she was a cop. I was selling a lot of drugs, and her daughter was madly in love with me, and she didn't have enough money.
Maybe that would be a good one for round two.
Yeah, she didn't have enough money anyway. So I may consider that one, you know. But holy shit. Yeah, you know what? Thank you. I'm going to use that in my little bit of my stand-up tonight.
Dude, thank you for everything. And I, again, can't express as much gratitude towards whatever you're doing and all the podcasts you release. You've been a huge part of giving me some valuable information that have helped change my life, from Jack Cruz to a lot of the other guests you've had on. It's your show changes people. So keep doing it. I really appreciate
it. Like I tell everybody else, brother, I said, you're doing the hard part. You're listening and doing something with it. Without that, I'm just making noises over here on this mic, man. So
don't sell yourself short.
Oh, shit. I ain't doing nothing but just running my mouth, baby. So I appreciate you listening and, again, being a part of this. And let's line it up for a second go round so we can walk into some other things. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks again, Adam. Good luck on your comedy tonight. And, yeah, keep killing it, brother.
All right. You too, brother. Take care, man. Love you.